If you wish, turn your Bibles to Psalm 90, and we'll read verse 12. Again, that's Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.
Good evening. It is good to see each and every one of you here this evening. Tonight we're going to look at the 90th Psalm. And we're going to look through this, and as we just read in verse 12, we're going to look at a heart of wisdom. I think each one of us desires to have a heart of wisdom. You know, we seek wisdom in our life to make us smarter at the things that we do. We seek wisdom to be successful in our life. And we want to have wisdom so we can be productive and prosperous in our life. We may desire all of this, but in order to do so, we must have a heart of wisdom by God's standard. And when we look at this psalm tonight, we're going to see the proven God. In order to have a heart of wisdom, we need to first look at the proven God, the pettiness of man, and the perspective of prayer. When we look at this, we see in the Psalms, we can see the emotion that is in the writer of the Psalm. Here it is believed that this is a prayer of Moses, a man of God. When we look at the songs, and the ones we just sang tonight, there's emotion that are written out into words and verbalized. And this psalm kind of makes us look at God and the power of God. See, God is a proven God. We don't have to guess if there's a God. We can know that there is a God. We can know that there is a God. In the very first verse, it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You see, all generations, all people see God as a dwelling place. We see Adam and Eve were in a dwelling place of God. We see that Moses understood and wrote in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, he says, the eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. David wrote in 2 Samuel 22, 2 through 3, he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from all violence. We also see that God is proven in our protection. You see, from all generations, from the beginning, He has been a provider, a protector of His people. And He's a dwelling place that man should go to. C.H. Spurgeon wrote, to the saints of the Lord Jehovah, the self-existent God stands instead of a mansion and rooftop. He shelters, comforts, protects, preserves, and cherishes all His own. Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the saints dwell in their God and have always done so in all ages. You see, God is the place that we can go to for protection. God is proven throughout time that He is the one we can go to. God is proven to be the only sure place that man can dwell. Psalm 91 in verse 1 says, when man dwells in the shelter of the Most High, he will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The Hebrew writer also said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You see, God is a place for protection. He's proven for protection from all in all dwelling in all generations. And we also see God is proven in creation. In verse 2, it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is seen in creation. God is seen in that he is the one who brought, he was before the mountains were. The mountains are one of the most stable things that man can think of, one of the most stable dwelling places. But God said, the psalm writer says that God is even before that. He created them. He gave birth to them. He formed them. And he was one who had done that before the foundations of the world. He was there. God was there before the creation of the world. So God is proven. When we look at this, you see before the mountains were, we see that this shows God's power. God made the mountains. God created the world. And that shows his power that he is. It also shows that God being the Father to his creation. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, and or ever you had formed the earth and the world, that he was God. When we think of God, we need to think how great God is, how powerful God is, that he is proven in all creation, and he's also proven in time. When we think of time, we think, well, we have, you know, we're everything in our life is set upon time. You know, how long is this going to take? And we plan out our day by the minutes almost of what we are going to do, when we are going to do it. Sometimes we even plan out the, you know, future days and plan out exactly the way it's going to be. But God is proven in time. Because God was before the world was. He is from everlasting to everlasting. We think of God is proven outside of time. He created time. And we see that God, with God, there was no one before him and there was no one after him. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14 says, God refers to himself as the I am. The I am, the one who is. He existed. In Revelation, we see how God was. He said that I am, or I was, I am, and I am currently, and I am to come. When we look at those things, God is from everlasting to everlasting. These are different words to say the same thing. When we look at the power of God, when we look at this psalm, we see the power of God and how he is so much greater than we can be. Then we look at the pettiness of ourselves. We see in verse 3, it says, you turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You see, God is proven in time when he looks at yesterday as being like 1,000 years. You know, we look at our lives and 5 years ago seems like, you know, maybe a couple years. And we look at how fast life goes. And that's the way God is. For 1,000 years is like a yesterday. And like a watch in the night. I know each of us probably enjoy our sleep. And when we go to sleep at night, how many times have you thought, or didn't I just close my eyes and that alarm clock's going off? Or it's already morning. When we wake up and we're just like, that's how quick time is. And we see that God is proven in this. The pettiness of man, God created man out of dust, and back to the dust he goes in verse 3. And he said that also to Adam and Eve, heard this during their punishment in Genesis 3:19. For man, though, time is of the essence. For God, time is like an afterthought. But God contrasts the man as liking it to a watch at night. It flies by. Man should be concerned with the time. Our times are passing away. In verse 5, it says, you carry them away like a flood, and they are like sheep in the morning, and they are like grass in that which grows up, and in the morning it flourishes and grows up, and in evening is cut down and withers. That's how quick man's life is. It's like in the morning we rise up and we're born, and in the evening we're cut down and withered away. We look at the pettiness of us in comparison to God. Now, we are a special people. We are God. God created us. And when God created us, he said it was good. And he gave us a soul, and he gave us to be over the things of the earth. But in comparison to God, we are nothing. And we look at this psalm writer and what he is saying here is how great God is and how petty man is. And when we look at this, we see how we should act, how we should be. But man has sinned. In verse 7, it says, for we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. And we set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all the days have passed away in your wrath. We have finished our years like a sigh. You see, our sins are deserving of the fullness of God's wrath. And by God's anger, we are consumed. By his wrath, we have been dismayed. We see in verse 1, God is our dwelling place. But now our sinful behavior has angered God. Even our secret sin is out, laid bare before God. He can see that. And we see all this, and we look at where we were in our life, where we were in our sinful state. In all of this, we see how petty that we are. And see how petty we are. And we see how quick our days are going by. It says, like a sigh. You know, that's how quick it seems, how fast our life goes by, like a sigh. A breathe in and a breathe out. And that's how quick our life is. I think there's a country song that talks about them asking an older man about his life, and he says, don't blink. Don't blink, it's that fast. So when we look at time, when we look at the time that we have, we need to take advantage of our time. And that's what our scripture reading, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Every day is a day that we should live for God. We should have the heart of wisdom that we know that God is Almighty God, and we are pettiness before him. My grandma always used to quote the verse that said, for this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We need to take advantage of today, our time right now. In order to have a heart of wisdom, we must number our days. Number our days. And we see here in verse 12 through 17, it is our prayer. A heart of wisdom pleads for God's help. A plea for God to, one, teach us to number our days. And also, too, we also see that we need to have a heart of wisdom and plead to God. In verse 14, it says, "Oh, sanctify us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days." When we think of sanctify, we're asking God to sanctify us. Jesus said in his prayer in the garden, he said, "Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth." We need to have ourselves sanctified in the word of God, to set ourselves for us to study the word of God so that we can know the truth and that we can set ourselves out of the world by the truth of God's word. When we look at this, a heart of wisdom pleads for God to sanctify us. It says, "Oh, sanctify us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to your days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil." And we also see in verse 16 through 17, it says, "Let your work appear to your servants." A petition is for God's work to be so evident that not only the present generation realizes it, but also the next generation will be able to see the majesty of God. And then we see also in verse 17, a heart of wisdom pleads for God's help, a plea for God to confirm for us the work of our hands. When we look at this in verse 17, it says, "And let the beauty of our Lord God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. When we see this, we're asking God to help us to make our days useful and productive. We need to know that our labor is not in vain. And we seek God's approval and his acceptance in our work. You see, we must desire to have a heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom comes from knowing that God is a God who is proven. A heart of wisdom knows the pettiness of us in comparison to God. And also a plea in prayer to God that he is our source of protection. He is our source of salvation. It is so good that we have these psalms, that we can look back and see the emotion that the writers had and how we can look at them and how we can seek the wisdom that they had as they knew God. And we also can know how to that God is the source of all wisdom. And we need to seek the wisdom of God by studying each and every day of our lives, by reading and by trying our best to live the Christian life. We must seek after the wisdom of God to help us to have a heart of wisdom by his standard. When we look at this psalm, we need to number our days. Take advantage of each and every day to make sure that we are living our life right before God. If you're here this evening and you are not living your life right with God, you need to make some changes. Repent of your sins. If we can help you do that, or if you're not a Christian, if you've never been baptized or put on a good faith, if you're here, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins, you can be a child of God in a right relationship with him. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.